afternoon.
Guys, hear everything?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Charles?
Airport District serves the Big Bear Valley by providing a safe.
Members present, please signify by saying aye. Director Smith?
Aye.
Director Crouch? Present include Jim Pritchard and Shannon Harris of Columbia Capital. Manager Ryan Goss. Operation Manager and Board Secretary Diane Cartwright. And we welcome members of the public who are joining us via Zoom.
Agenda items, wait for comments and then for the chair.
Hey, I'm sorry, guys, but you're breaking up. We barely hear you.
Let's try this now. Is that better?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Good. So we were just on public comments. No time to others. Comments on agenda items will be heard at the time the matter is considered. Comments on non-agenda items will be heard during the public comments section of the agenda. A speaker comments within the jurisdiction of the Big Bear Airport District Board. Please note if you are addressing the board on items not on the agenda, the Brown Act does allow board discussion of such items because they are not on the agenda and thus were not noticed publicly. Therefore, the board may only do the following: refer the matter to staff, ask for additional information, or request a report back, or give a very limited factual response. Your comments may be placed on the agenda for future. Non-agenda comments are limited to 3 minutes with a total of. Are there any non-agenda comments? Not. Six is approval of agenda. Is there, are there any changes? Seven is business matters, discussion and possible recommendations. So 7.1, we're going to be doing the updated financing options for the new building construction by Jim Pritchard, Shannon Harris, and Mike Williams of Columbia Capital. First is possible selection of a method of financing for recommendation to the entire board of directors for final approval at the March 9th regular board. And with that, Jim, take it away.
Okay. Can everyone hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Okay, good. You guys were breaking up a little bit towards the end, but was able to hear you. Thanks, Saul, for inviting me. I've been discussing with Ryan and Diane over the last couple of weeks the results of our financial analysis, and I see that he's shared with you some exhibits that I've put together that were attached to the agenda. And I think probably the best approach would be for me to just go over that with you. So first, I know that there's a lot. Okay. So happy to do that, certainly. So I know that there's a lot of information in that attachment, but you can really get the key takeaways from the first page of that summary. So I'll just walk you through that. Does everyone have that in front of them, or do I need to share my screen?
We have it.
You have it. Okay, great. So after the district selected Hilltop Securities as its placement agent, I began working with them to gather market information about the projected borrowing rate the district might expect for its bonds under various different scenarios. And I built a financial model to flesh out all of these different scenarios, which is those subsequent four pages after the summary. We settled on presenting four basic scenarios to you. And those vary in duration, meaning final maturity, and—
Jim, I'm gonna interrupt you for a moment. If you could share your screen for the public, then they'd be able to see what you're talking about. That would be useful.
Okay. Just give me a second here to do that.
Yeah. Sorry for switching things.
No problem. All right. Just give me a sec. Okay. Okay. It says that the host has disabled participant screen sharing. So if I can just get that enabled, I can share my screen.
Ryan is working on that now.
Okay.
Let me double check then, as far as members of the public are concerned. Chuck, do you have the document or available access to the document?
I see his screensaver of the Mustang, but I don't see any documents yet.
Okay, right. But do you have a copy of the document? Or no?
Oh, do I have a copy? I'd have to go back into my email and take a look to see. So don't wait on me. I'll go look and see, and I'll let you know.
Okay, and then Jack, do you have a copy of it?
Yeah, I printed it and I've gone through it thoroughly.
Okay, and I think that those are members of the public. So if you're okay with Jim just going ahead, we won't have to spend time looking for the controls, because I think we might have to end the meeting and restart it to be able to switch that midstream.
Yeah, please don't wait for me. I'll be able to pull them up.
Sure.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, and it was attached to the agenda. So, okay, so I'll just go ahead and move on then. So we settled on four basic scenarios. And the key differences between those four is duration, meaning the final maturity, whether it's a 20-year deal or a 25-year deal, so forth and so on. And the sell method, meaning is it a private loan, or is it a public transaction where we go to the capital markets? But one thing is constant amongst all scenarios, and this is very important, is that each scenario has the same exact annual debt service, which is just under $500,000. So to analyze the benefits and the drawbacks of these four scenarios, we tried to distill it into what are the key considerations that we should look at. What I will say is all four scenarios do work, but some are better than others. So here's the four considerations. We looked at duration. So shorter is better, right? If you can accomplish the same goal with a 20-year loan versus a 30-year loan, well, then you'd want to do the 20-year loan, all else being equal. So duration was one, borrowing rate was two. Obviously here, the lower the better, given the duration. Project proceeds, here more is better. The reason that each scenario produces different project proceeds, number one, obviously the rate, but more importantly, since we're using the same annual debt service, the amount generated from that is gonna be different. You can think about that like a 20-year mortgage versus a 30-year mortgage. If both mortgages have the exact same annual payment. Well, the one that is 30 years is going to give you more money to buy a house. So that's how that works. And then the last consideration, which might be the most important, is preservation of cash. And that is all played out in the subsequent four pages of this exhibit that basically takes each one of these four borrowing scenarios and does a five-year projection. And that five-year projection is going to give you a projected cash balance at the end of 2026. And so, you know, that's a real key factor. And we compare that to your policy minimum. You have a cash balance policy, and we compare whatever that ending balance is to the minimum that your policy says that you should have. And certainly the more, the better. The more, the better, because what if there's other projects, capital projects that you want to do that you don't know about yet that you might want to do 5 years from now? That gives you the flexibility. Or, you know, hopefully this doesn't happen, but if the terminal goes over budget, well, you have that cash cushion to take care of that. So preservation of cash might be the more important thing. And so as you look at this summary page, you'll see we have some narrative context for each one of these four considerations for each scenario. And we color-coded it to kind of visually make it easy to look at when you first look at it. Green is better, red text is worse, and gray text is in between. In addition to that, at the bottom of the summary page, we wanted to provide you some context between doing a private loan versus doing a capital markets transaction. And no need to get into all the differences between those two, but I think that does play into probably what's the better scenario here. The scenario with all green text is the 25-year private placement. It checks all the boxes, the all-in true interest cost, that the borrowing rate think is attractive. It's lower than a comparable 25-year capital markets transaction. Project proceeds meets the goals of the project need of 10.8 million. So if it's 10.8 million to come up with how much the district will need to contribute out of its own current cash position, you just take 10.8 million minus the project proceeds that this borrowing strategy would provide. We think, and so in this case, it'd be about 2.5 million. That seems reasonable to us. And the projected cash balance out in 2026, I think gives you a nice healthy cushion to give you that flexibility of other projects or cost overruns or whatever. So that really appears to be the better scenario from our perspective. Other things about a private loan that is attractive, certainly in this market. In 2022, it's been very volatile, to say the least. We started the year off with rates moving higher at a speed that we haven't seen in a long time. And then also with our recent Russian and Ukraine situation adds more volatility. A private loan can be done quite a bit faster and also allows you to lock your interest rate in sooner than the capital markets deal. And the intelligence that we've gathered from the market is that we think there is potentially the ability to do what's called a drawdown feature, where we know that you don't exactly need the monies today for the terminal. You might need them really more about a year from now or so. A drawdown feature allows you to lock in your interest rate to lock the maximum amount that you would borrow, but you don't draw on that amount until a later date and you don't pay interest on that until that later date. And so what we understand in the market today is that there are banks out there that will do a 12-month drawdown period. So you close, it would take about 2 or 3 months to close a private deal if we started today, if we got the authority to move forward. Then 12 months after that is when you would have that window to draw monies on that loan. So we think that is would be a great, if it's still available, we think it is, I think would be a really good scenario for the district. So that's my summary of what you're seeing here. The subsequent pages really just take each of those four scenarios and just project it out as best we can. This is, I reviewed, 5 years of financial information of the district, did some projections, reviewed your capital improvement plan and broke those numbers in there. Both Ryan and Diane reviewed this, and we had several conversations about it. So we think that the projections are probably conservative. I think you'll probably end in each of these a little bit better than what we show, but I think it's better to be conservative than to be aggressive in these types of financial matters. So that's it in a nutshell. So if there's questions or maybe things I might have missed that are important to the committee, I'm happy to talk more.
We'll ask you questions. So we'll start with, do you have any questions, Director Cross?
Let me just restate in my own words so that I make sure that I'm clearly understanding it. At least the parts that I might be most confused about or most concerned with. One was, I don't have any issue with the private versus capital. That makes perfect sense to me. As I understand what you just now said, it'll take about 3 months to secure the loan. It will take probably, and then we have another 12 months before anything has to be drawn from that loan. So that's 15 months from now to actually start construction, essentially. Is that
not necessary?
In terms of a buffer, we could start 6 months if it was possible, but.
So essentially. Of the terminal building are getting more accurate numbers.
You're cutting out, Ryan.
Sorry, Jim.
Yep.
Once we move forward and we start doing once we start getting better numbers for the construction of the terminal building, my plan would be to work with Jim and his group to draw that money down at a specific rate and reinvest it in the meantime until we need to use it. And we may invest it into CDs, whatever Jim and his group feels most prudent, but very short term, not years. We're talking 6-8 months. So we still have the liquidity of the funds, but within that year, we have to draw down the maximum amount for the project.
Okay.
So that was my plan, because we know what the interest rates are doing right now. We don't know what it's going to do later. So I think Jim and I, we worked out a plan where if we can make this work, it's going to be beneficial for the district, because we will be able to lock a rate in. We'll be able to move that money into investments. As we need it, we can start using it.
So the lender doesn't, just before, but like on a house construction loan, my recollection was the lender basically makes direct payments to the contractor. But so that things are getting built, and the lender knows that the money that's being given to, that is secured for this project, is actually being spent on the project. In this case, though, the lender we can draw the money, but we don't have to use it immediately on the project. It can be invested.
Correct.
At some point, though, I assume the lender expects proof that you completed the project and spent the money.
Well, with, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but really we have 1 year. From the date of the closing to when we can draw the last amount of money down, we have 1 year to do that. We can invest that.
You're right. We do believe that in the current market that we can find a lender that will allow you to do a deal today and not draw that money for a year, 12 months. The lender is going to provide the money directly to the district. The lender does not, I don't want to say wouldn't care, but is not terribly concerned about understanding the construction schedule. There's other factors at play there, mostly federal IRS tax considerations. But generally, what we would need is your reasonable expectation that you would spend the monies in about 3 years from the day that we would close. And from what I hear, it would be much quicker than that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it's one more though that adds on to that. So the total, like taking your 25 years, the total possible proceeds is about $8.33 million. Is that correct? Okay. And if in this planning phase we come up with a lesser number, then by the end of that year we're drawing that lesser number, period. So within that time frame, we need to know exactly what it's going to cost, draw the right amount, or at least that we have enough in reserves that if we miss the mark, we can pick it up from our own reserves. And is that a?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair statement. Certainly, if we get to the end of the 12-month draw period, and you decide that you don't need to draw the full amount, you're under no obligation to do so. What you would do is you would just draw the amount that you needed, and any excess that you don't draw, that would just expire, and you would never,
okay,
that would never be part of the loan.
And in this scenario, the 25-year scenario, I mean, the 8.3 is about 80% of the projected cost of the construction, which means we're really drawing very little from our own current reserves.
On your paperwork there, it would be about
2.4 million
is what we would get out of our reserves.
Out of roughly 6 million. Mm-hmm. So that's a real safe place to be. What is the most significant difference between the 20-year and 25-year?
I would say look at the cash balance over policy minimum line item. It's really the amount of proceeds, which also plays into your cash projections going out to 2026. So in the 20-year private placement, at the time that I did the numbers, it'd be about $340,000 of excess cash over the policy minimum versus $1.2 million on the 25-year scenario. I think that's the key difference there.
Yeah, that's cutting it pretty close if we have unexpected.
Yeah. And another thing for me is the cash on hand. You know, we get roughly almost 100 days or 200 days more cash on hand. We have more cash available.
But I think one of the important things is if we, as our numbers get better, if we find that we don't need that full 8.3, we don't have to take that.
Yeah.
That's, I think, an important thing. As one of the things that we started this with, both Director Krause and I agreed that we did not want to encumber the district more than we needed to. We wanted to make sure we're spending the reserves that we've been putting aside for this on this.
Yeah, and just adding on that, the concern was that if we, especially if we're going out for that long a period, 25 years, a lot can happen, a lot can change, especially in the economics. And if we can maximize our buffer over that longer period of time, as she said, that's our priorities. That's all I have right now.
Okay. I think you asked questions that I had. I'm not sure that I have any others. Your recommendation is the 25-year private placement?
It is, and what we would like to do is work with Hilltop Securities as the placement agent and actually do a formal request for proposal with lenders that we know are interested in this credit, but they've already had some conversations with them, and get a firm proposal from them to confirm interest rate, rate lock period, and to confirm the drawdown window, which we think is probably 12 months, but it could be different than that. That does change as market conditions change. So we would what we would want to do is work with them to go ahead and get that solicitation out. That way we have, and there's not a lot of banks. There's probably just a small handful that we would go directly to, and we'd go out there, reach out to them directly and get actual proposals from them, and then share that with you. And as long as the numbers are still looking approximately like we're showing here, and we would update all the different, you know, capital markets projections to do a comparison if the capital markets scenarios looked better because market conditions have changed, we would let you know before we would give our final recommendation. But I think the next logical step is to do that formal solicitation directly with lenders that we believe are very interested in borrowing the district or lending the district money for this project.
Okay, I think I have a recommendation associated with that, but before we do that, I want to see if there are any public comments or questions for the...
Yeah, this is Chuck. I have a couple of quick questions. One, and this may not be something you guys wish to discuss in public, have you discussed or are you considering what would be your maximum interest rate that you would be willing to go to in support of this effort? And two, considerations as to where, you know, if we have to pull out $8 million, assuming that that's the cost, where you would put that money such that it is secure, that we don't have to worry about loss of principal, you know, again, because of the volatility of the markets and everything else that we see ourselves in.
Okay, so I can answer some of those, Chuck. One of the things is, as far as where the money would go to, we would either put it in very short-term CDs, as Ryan mentioned, or in LAIF, both of which would be secure and secured. As a board, we haven't talked about a maximum interest rate. I think we're still at interest rates that I would think all of us would be comfortable with. But I do think we want to move ahead so that that does not change.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and that's why we want to do it now rather than waiting till we have all the information we possibly could have about the actual construction costs and such. The interest rate, to get the interest rate, we need to move fairly quickly given everything that's going on.
Any further public comments or questions?
None from me.
Thank you. Appreciate both your input. So this was my question and suggestion. At this point, definitely want board approval. I mean, we would have board approval before we would decide on any of these. But I am not certain that we need full board approval to have them go ahead and talk to Hilltop and start getting more firm numbers. But I think that's still part of the process that we already approved. And so rather than waiting to the March 9th board meeting, we can report on this. We can get the board's consensus on this. But I think we could instruct Jim to go ahead and move on, because I think that's part of the same thing the board's already approved.
Yes, I know.
Okay. So that is going to be our suggestion, is to start talking to lenders. Hilltop, you had mentioned, Jim, about the 25-year private placement.
Yep, absolutely. We'll get on that. And I don't think we would have, it would be final by the March 9th meeting, but we probably have some, you know, information to report at that time on what we're hearing.
Okay, that would be great. And we'd probably go ahead and present briefly what our conversation was, have you add in if there were board member questions, and then add in the new information.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, if there's any associated documents that need to be, if you plan on having any documents available for the board and the committee, I would like to see if we could have those by Saturday at the latest, so we can include those in the board packets if there is any documents.
I don't think that there would be anything other than what we're showing tonight. I think it would be more verbal of our take on current market conditions and the current market for private placements. But before then, we would be able to at least get the solicitation out and maybe have a few initial conversations. But we wouldn't have anything formal back by then.
Okay, that would be fine, because you can always discuss what else you've learned at the board meeting. That would be great. Does anyone else have any comments, questions, anything else from you right now? Okay, so we're going to bring this to the board meeting to discuss what we went over, and our next meeting date is Wednesday, March 9th at 2022 p.m., which is a regular board of directors meeting. It is via teleconference, and at 5:20, this meeting.